from an interview with pianist Glenn Gould by John McClure 40 years ago.
Glenn, right here in New York, where we're talking, I know, personally, half a dozen impresarios dying to present you in concerts all across the country, your pick of locations. They offer to pay you any fee that you name. Why do you deny them all?
Because it's not a very enticing prospect, John. It's a very flattering one, I suppose, but it's not an enticing prospect.
The life of a glamorous concert artist
is hideous.
That exchange is from a 1962 recording called Glenn Gould, Concert Dropout. That is exactly what Gould was then. He dropped out of concertizing in favor of the joys of the recording studio, and by extension, the process of editing, through which he could control and construct every one of his interpretations.
For me, it's a great liability to have a live audience. I resent the one-timeness, the non-take-two-ness of that particular experience, you know.
It's difficult to imagine what a bold move this was. The traditional, somewhat snobbish view had been that performance was superior. Records were merely a substitute. Gould turned this completely around. Performance is dead, he said. Long live the record. A couple of generations later, in a vastly changed recording industry, with classical music fighting for its life, the question still arouses passions.
I'm trying to really preserve as much as possible the liveness of the performance.
Philip Traugott is a classical CD producer. He runs the recording sessions first, in which musicians play several takes of whatever pieces they're recording.
And afterwards, I take all of the tapes and evaluate the material and put together an edit plan, selecting the best moments from all the takes and making a roadmap for the engineer to follow.
This process differs not at all from the pop music process, except that in classical music, the pieces tend to be longer and often quieter, more revealing of errors, hence more editing. Music editors like this one sit at computer keyboards and work, sometimes phrase by phrase.
There can be, in a typical 60-minute CD, let's say, as few as several hundred edits and as many as 3,000. In the case of, obviously, the latter, that means there's an edit almost one every second.
This would be an excellent moment to play for you an example of a highly edited recording, so you might marvel at its seamlessness or shudder at its mechanical perfection. But exactly who does this much editing and on which CDs it appears is not something professionals are inclined to discuss. Because, Glenn Gould's vision notwithstanding, there are still plenty of artists who wish to maintain the deception, if you will, the illusion that they have played flawlessly, all in one take. Which is not to say that there aren't serious artists who embrace, as Gould did, the process of recording and editing. A pianist like Stephen Huff wouldn't dream of deceiving anyone about the role editing plays in making a lasting recorded musical document.
To me, the important thing is working with that art form and making the CD that you take out of its box the best possible CD it possibly can be. And if this involves two edits or if it involves 100 edits, I don't really see that there's an issue.
Whatever the art requires.
Many great painters, you know, had dozens of attempts at drawing or painting a particular hand and then finally got the one that they were pleased with. I don't think we would say, well, that's not really fair. Why couldn't they do it the first time? The real truth of what this is about, the truth is putting a CD on and having an experience of Beethoven, not putting it on and being able to say, well, this was done with no takes.
So editing isn't only about correcting mistakes, it's about quality of performance.
I think of it more as stringing pearls.
Judith Sherman is a Grammy-winning classical CD producer.
What is the intended performance is really the question. Let's say a musician goes on stage on his or her best night, will maybe do 80-90%, if it's a really great night, of what he or she intended. The less good nights, maybe only 60%. So what you're trying to do is, at this date and time, in this recording session, this person wanted the performance to go like this. with 100%.
Fair enough. But there are still some who feel editing has made an irrevocable impact on the way CDs are made and perceived and the way music is listened to. In a New York recording studio, Classic Sound, Tom Lazarus sees it all up close, though at more of a distance, perhaps, than some artists.
I don't think they will even admit to themselves how much editing is actually done. I think they're in denial.
The process encourages more and more edits, building one on the other, polishing the polish. Before you know it,
what you basically end up with is a perfectly performed piece of music that's there's no emotion in it. And the listener doesn't really realize why they're not moved by it, but it's because it's just flat. You know, there's nothing left. And in a lot of cases, mistakes are part of a performance, but they're just never left in anymore. Basically don't exist.
Listeners may be horrified to learn that even on CDs advertised as recorded live in concert, the practice is to do patch sessions after the live recording, so mistakes made during the performance can be corrected by, yes, editing. So, as in all things, editing is a question of balance. Glenn Gould's brilliant solution for his own musical life may not work for all. Over-edited recordings can leave us cold. So, I imagine, can under-edited ones. A live performance like this one by Sviatoslav Richter, complete with a ringing clinker toward the end, can thrill us. And so can Glenn Gould's magnificent, measured studio recordings. It would be sad, though, wouldn't it, if classical recordings literally edited themselves out of existence. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fishko.